This is Digital Dave, and I'm speaking with Mr. Jeff Marcus of the NTSB Safety Recommendations Department. That's a department we probably don't hear about a lot.
That's correct, but we are the people who bring about the improvements to safety. When the NTSB learns something during an investigation, the safety recommendations are issued, and we're the people who get them implemented.
Do you generally generate recommendations from every incident, or are you looking for patterns that you can say, wait a minute, there's something going on here we need to address?
We have sort of three different ways that we issue recommendations. When there is a major investigation, like if there is, say, an airliner that crashes, we will do a major report, and out of that there will be a set of recommendations based on that one accident from the lessons that we've learned. We also will do special studies. We've done special studies on things like experimental amateur-built aircraft, on drug use trends among pilots, on agricultural aviation. Those are not a single accident. They're a collection of accidents. And based on what we see from the collection of accidents, we issue recommendations to change the pattern. We also will have instances of where there isn't actually an accident, but we go out and investigate something. Common example is with air traffic control, of where we will say, this was a dangerous situation, and then on that we will issue recommendations.
Okay, so you do studies of all types.
Correct.
Forensic and non-forensic. Nice way to put it, I guess, not really. But so when you go out and you deal with air traffic control, is that in response to a complaint, an incident report, or something? What usually initiates an investigation like that?
There are several types of air traffic events that we might become interested in. There are near midair collisions, so there is not an accident, but airplanes become so close, and the pattern of what led to it leads us to be concerned about that. There are also TCAS, where two airplanes are approaching each other and the automated systems alert to provide separation. The airplanes don't crash, but a report is made to us of those. And if we begin to see a set of circumstances where TCAS was the final step that prevented the accident, we want to go in and look at that to prevent it from getting to that point.
So would you solicit the help of the general aviation public pilots if they know of a place where there is routinely something that they feel is dangerous, that they should report it to you guys, let you guys look into it, or what?
I think if they are aware of a safety problem, particularly with air traffic control, the first place to go with that is to the FAA. The FAA has a safety hotline that you can call to report incidents, and the FAA would be the first group that would go ahead and take care of that.
Okay, so they're going to look at patterns of reports and say, wait a minute, something's going on at this particular airport we need to look into, and then they'll send you.
Correct. We are by nature, by congressional mandate, a reactive organization. We go out and investigate when something has gone wrong to see what led to it. If people are aware of a problem before it becomes a problem, the best thing to do is to get in touch with the FAA. They're the people in the position to make the immediate correction before it's necessary for us to come in.
So you've been doing this for a number of years, you said, outside.
I've been with the safety board for 17 years. Almost all of that has been working on safety recommendations.
So you've seen all sorts of crazy things.
Well, one of the interesting aspects of the safety recommendations that I do is I get to see everything that we recommend. So every nature, every aspect of aviation incidents results in recommendations. I get to see everything from medical through airworthiness, through pilot operations, through policies. They all come across my desk.
About how many recommendations per year are issued?
Well, let me give you some perspective. The NTSB, as an organization, investigates all modes of transportation, not just aviation. We were founded in 1967. Since 1967, we've issued over 14,300 different safety recommendations. About two-thirds of those are aviation recommendations. And in a typical year, we will issue somewhere approximately 100 safety recommendations addressing aviation issues. Typically, we'll take somewhere between 3 to 10 years for a recommendation that we make to be completed. So the action that we would think needs to make the improvement takes about that long to be completed.
So you don't necessarily see direct results. You got to wait a little bit till it catches up, till that filters through the system, so per se.
That's correct. A common situation that we might run into is we'll investigate an accident. We'll discover sort of a broken part on an airplane or an engine or something of that sort. We try to figure out why the part broke. In many cases, the manufacturers have some insight. They're parties to our investigation. We will say to the FAA, we'll issue a recommendation to fix this problem with this part. The FAA will then issue an airworthiness directive, which says that there is a redesign to this part. You need to put this into your airplane. That requires a fair amount of time because you have to design the revision. You have to make sure that it works and is compatible with the system. You have to provide notice to everybody of what it's out there. You have the issues of just manufacturing the new parts and getting them out to everybody. So it takes, in many cases, several years.
Wow. I can think of several on the carburetor throats on the Marvel Shevlers that were falling apart, the infamous seat tracks on the Cessnas. We're going back a ways.
Yeah.
I can only imagine, as the airplanes get more and more complicated, unfortunately, there's more and more possibility for it to screw up.
Yes. There are many of the recommendations we issue, the fix is known, but there are also recommendations that we issue that require a lot of basic research. For example, out of the very famous TWA 800, the 747 that blew up off the coast of Long Island, there were a lot of issues about the flammability of fuel tanks, and there was a lot of research that was done. That took a number of years, both for us to complete our investigation and to identify a cost-effective way that that could be addressed. The issues with icing in aircraft. There were types of icing that would occur with certain situations where water would hit a wing and then it would run back and freeze. I don't think people were necessarily aware of that or aware of the shapes and the impacts on the airfoil, and there was research that needed to be done to address those.
And you had to find someone to fly into known icing to test these things.
Well, we found them after they had done it.
Okay. Icing's a big one, especially with us little airplane guys. Wow. So how many accident sites have you gone to?
I personally have gone to a few, but that's not my primary focus. My primary focus is that after the investigation is completed, I am in Washington, D.C., and I am in touch with the people, and most of our aviation recommendations go to the FAA to make sure that they understand what we're looking for, to arrange meetings when they don't, and trying to convince them. We also are contacted by different congressional staff and congressional committees who want to know why something is or is not being done or what needs to be done.
Okay. But how do you formulate a recommendation? You've got the results of this accident report laid out in front of you, which will give you, you know, timeline, sequence of events, causes. And now you got to sit down and word something that you think will prevent this from happening again. That's got to be a long, drawn-out process involving a lot of other people to put input into it.
During the course of the investigation, talking here a major investigation, there'll be a series of meetings that the investigation may typically last a year to 18 months. There'll be a series of meetings of all of the staff involved, and it's a collaborative process where somebody will say, if you're a specialist in, say, the engines, or you're a specialist in the aircraft structure, was there an issue here? What needs to be done to fix this so that this accident would not happen again? They'll say, this needs to be strengthened, or this needs to be analyzed for these vibratories, or whatever the particular situation is. Once we have the idea of the solution that's needed, then we start working on how can they do this? Who would be the people who would do it? What is the potential situation and the solution to this? So the first thing we do is identify the problem that needs to be solved, the improvement that needs to be made to address safety.
Okay. Now, with the rise of fly-by-wire airplanes, that's brought into a whole nother area of possible problems in that software, computer hardware. that's not something that you ever worked with before. Mainly you were looking at structures and mechanical things. Now you got to be able to verify software and stuff like that. That's got to have made your job a little more complicated.
I'm not aware of software malfunctions that have been an issue. One of the issues with automated airplanes is the interaction between the human being and the automated systems. I think that a very good example of that was the big accident that happened with the Asiana Flight 214 in San Francisco, where the pilots had seemingly an incomplete understanding of how their automated system worked. They expected they put the airplane into a mode and the throttles would be maintained, and that was not the way that it was operating. Those types of human interactions with the automated systems is a big area of our concern these days.
Okay, and maintaining pilot proficiency and all that with yes. automation has got to be tricky too. What do you see going on? I mean, what would the ultimate goal, I guess, of NTSB would be to not need your services?
We're in the process of trying to eliminate our job.
Yeah, ongoing process. I haven't been quite successful yet, but however. Well, anyway, I want to thank you for joining us. And you guys have a presence here on the field?
We do. We are in the Federal Pavilion. And anybody who hears this, and I invite you to come by, see some very interesting stuff. We have some good simulations that are being played. We have a number of brochures of recommendations that we are making to general aviation pilots to prevent from things from being involved in an accident.
Right, things from going wrong. All right, thank you very much. This is Digital Dave, and you're listening to EAA Radio.